chapter 28, and the heading is the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of God.
There are two types of people in the world. There are people who like to fill their car up with fuel when the gauge is about halfway. And there are people who see the empty sign as more of a challenge than a warning. You know who you are. When I was younger, I borrowed my boyfriend's car, and he assured me that even though the fuel gauge was on empty, I would have enough fuel to get to where I needed to go. Well, I only made it a few blocks before slowing down and running out of fuel in the middle of one of the busiest roundabouts in town. Needless to say, I was not very happy. So in order to get my revenge, I married him. And Tim and I will be celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary soon. But we all have things that we like to put off. Sometimes it's going to the dentist or putting fuel in the car. We have different reasons for putting things off. Sometimes we think it doesn't really matter, or sometimes we know it's important, but we just don't know how to do it. That walk that I told you I would love to go on, the reason I haven't done it is because I just don't really know how to. I don't know if I have the right equipment. I don't really know where to get off. But if someone came and helped me, I could do that. And when it comes to sharing our faith or evangelism or disciple making, there are different reasons Christians put it off. Sometimes we just don't realize that it's important. Sometimes we know it is, but we think, "I just need a bit of help. How could I do this?" And so this morning, we're going to look at a part of the Bible that will help us understand why we share our faith and how we could do that. The part that was just read to us is usually called the Great Commission, but I've started calling it Plan A, because this has always been the plan. Jesus has always wanted disciples to go and make disciples. There is no plan B. And this morning we're going to unpack the plan. We're going to see that it has five parts. And I've called these five parts growing, knowing, sowing, rowing, and showing up. And I'll explain what that means as we go along. The first part of the plan is growing. Growing in the gospel. Growing in how that applies to our life. Because it's disciples who make disciples. So the first part of faith sharing is recognizing that you are a disciple of Jesus and that you believe the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, in these verses, we hear the gospel in a really special way, because we have the risen Jesus come to his disciples, and in verse 18, he tells them the gospel. "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." This is the gospel. This is the news that Christians believe has changed the world. Jesus is the risen King. The gospel's not a philosophy. It's not a set of rules. The gospel is about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. He has come to earth, lived life, experienced our brokenness and our suffering, but he has loved God and loved other people. He went to the cross to die for our sins, but overcame sin and death and rose from the dead and has now been given all authority in heaven and on earth. It's all about Jesus. And sometimes we struggle with this because we like to be the center of the world. We like everything to revolve around us. We want it to be about me. But the correct response to the gospel is to recognizing Jesus is King. And just like those 11 doubting disciples, coming to him and worshiping him. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes things are hard or they don't work out the way we want them to. But we know we can always trust Jesus because he's a good king. He gave up his life for us. How much does he love us? So what we need to do is we need to set aside our idols, whether that's the love of money, the love of power, whether it's another religion. But we need to come to Jesus with our whole heart, our whole life, and say, yes, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins, and I believe you are ruling, and I believe you will return one day, that you will unite heaven and earth in your kingdom, and I want to be part of that. So if you haven't done that already, please do it this morning. It is the best thing you will ever do. The freedom of knowing that your sins are forgiven, the joy of being loved every day. But if you've already done that, then it's time to live it out. Because we come to Jesus to be his disciple. The word disciple literally means learner. We learn from Jesus how to live. So we learn from Jesus how to love God, how to love each other, and how to love our neighbor, and how to love our enemy. We also need to learn from Jesus how to go. Because that's what Jesus says to his disciples. This news, it's got to be shared. Go and make disciples of all nations. There's nobody that's excluded from this good news. So we need to learn how we can take this news into our community. Which brings us to the next part of the plan. I've called that knowing. Knowing others. Being relational. Because when we look at how Jesus made disciples, we can see that he was relational. When Jesus called the 12 disciples to himself, he didn't just say, here's a book. Go and read about it. Come back when you've mastered it. He didn't tell them that there was a school that they needed to go to. He gave them himself. He invited them into life with him. How many hours do you think they spent on dusty roads traveling from town to town, just chatting? They ate together. They went to parties together. They got to see the way Jesus treated women, children, Gentiles, the leaders. They were learning from him by being shoulder to shoulder with him. People are going to learn about Jesus when we share our lives with them. Something that had been on my bucket list that is no longer on my bucket list is quad bike riding. So that's sort of a motorbike with four wheels. And I really wanted to do this for my 40th birthday, which was this year. I don't think I'm having a midlife crisis. I think this is normal. So my husband and I, we went quad bike riding. Now, I don't really know much about this, and I thought it would be fun. You go to the place, and they make you watch a safety video. But the safety video basically says, if you make this mistake, you're going to go to jail. And if you do this wrong, you're going to go to jail. And if this happens, well, you'll probably end up in jail. And I'm watching this safety video thinking, I'm going to jail for my 40th birthday. So by the time I'm sitting on the quad bike, on the machine, the keys in the ignition, I'm thinking, I still don't really know how this thing works. But it worked out because I wasn't alone. I had an instructor. So the instructor assured me that they would go at a pace that I could cope with. They weren't going to abandon me. And if I got stuck, they would stop and come and help me. And they were going to show me how to turn through those tight corners. It was loads of fun because I had somebody with me, somebody showing me the way. And when it comes to people learning about Jesus, you're the instructors. You know Jesus. You know what it's like to trust Him, to pray to Him, to be loved by Him. So share that with your friend at a pace they can cope with. Journey with them. If they get stuck in life, help them out. Love them. Let them know that they can depend on you. So many people in Australia become Christians because they have a relationship with a Christian. There's somebody in their life that they know and trust who's a Christian. But that Christian also needs to tell them about Jesus, because the news of Jesus is news. It still needs to be heard. People are never going to guess that Jesus rose from the dead because you helped them out with some groceries. Or people are never going to figure out on their own that Jesus is ruling over heaven and earth because you made them a cup of tea. It's still news. And this is the next part of the plan, sowing seeds. Because Jesus did love people, but He also taught them about the kingdom of heaven. But He did it in so many ways. Sometimes He shared a story. Sometimes He took scripture and explained how He fulfilled that. One time He even sort of sat in the dirt drawing. Sometimes He rebuked people. Sometimes He spoke to crowds. Other times He just spoke to a few. But you know, He didn't force Himself on people. If someone walked away, Jesus let them. But if they were willing to come to Him and learn some more, He was willing to teach them the secrets of the kingdom. So when it comes to speaking about Jesus, I think the idea of sowing seeds is really important, because seeds are little and they're scattered. As we journey with people, as we love them, we'll be looking for opportunities to sow a seed about Jesus. We don't have to say everything there is to know about Jesus in one conversation. We don't need to panic. Just say what you can in the moment and pray and trust God will grow that seed, and look for opportunities. I found one way of being able to have conversations about Jesus is actually to remember I'm having a conversation about Jesus. That means both people get to talk. So I've really learned the power of asking people questions and listening to their answer. I mean really listening, not just asking so I can have a chance to talk, but saying, where do you come from? I was chatting to one person. This is an aeroplane story. I'm sorry, evangelists always have aeroplane stories, but we were on an aeroplane. It was one of those cheap flights where you don't get any food or any in-flight entertainment. So the upside of that is that the person I was sitting next to was willing to chat with me. So we started talking, and I heard about his life and his family and why he was traveling. And the conversation eventually turned to, well, why are you flying to Adelaide? And I said, well, I'm on my way to teach the Bible. And he said, oh, I have a problem with that. And I said, tell me. And this was his opening line. God is the biggest mass murderer in the history of the world. But rather than panicking, I said, why do you think that? And I was willing to listen to where he was coming from, What is it that he knew about the Bible? What is it that he'd seen in life? It turns out he'd been in the army and he'd said some really tough things. But I listened to him. And eventually he said to me, "What do you think about all of that?" And then I had a chance to share with him why I think Jesus is worth following. And so I actually shared with him the story of the Roman centurion coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to heal his servant. Because it shows that Jesus has come for life, that Jesus loves everyone. At the end of that flight, he took a Bible from me. He assured me that he would read it. And he thanked me. He said, "This has been the best flight I've ever been on." But I think conversations like that happen when we show people respect, when we're willing to ask questions and listen to the answer. So try that. Try asking people questions and just saying what you can in the moment. Now, I know some of you are thinking, "Well, this is great. You know, I love going to parties. I love hanging out with people. I love having conversations." But some of you are still thinking, "Oh, I don't know. This kind of sounds a bit hard." We're going to love the next part of the plan, okay? Because this is something all of us can be involved in. And I've called that rowing. Because this is the idea that this is a partnership, that we're all rowing together. Because when Jesus sends out his disciples, he sends out his disciples. He sent them all out. And the "you" at the end of this, "I will be with you all the days," is actually plural. It's "I will be with you all as you go." So Jesus wants us to partner together as the church, as brothers and sisters, to bring the good news of Jesus to our community. So imagine we're in a rowboat. Okay, we've all got a set of oars and we're all rowing. What would happen if half of us started rowing this way and the other half started rowing this way? Chaos, dysfunction. When it comes to mission, to reaching the community with the news of Jesus, we need to be in agreement that that is where we are heading, that that's the purpose of the church, one of the purposes. We need to be rowing together, saying, "Yes, I want the people in West Ryde to hear about Jesus. Yes, I'm willing to be involved. Yes, I will support the people who are making decisions and taking risks." We do this together. And I know I've heard a couple times already now about this meeting that you're having after church. This is a rowing together activity. This is when you say, "Yes, I do want our church to be reaching out and I do want to be involved." You know, it's absolutely impossible for one person to fund the activities of this church. But when you all see this as something that you are all involved in and you all contribute, then wonderful things happen. We can actually do so much more together than we can do on our own. So seize the moment, take the opportunity to get involved in what your church is doing here in order to reach out to the community. So that's rowing together. But I understand that sometimes this rowing together, this sharing our faith, it does feel like we are rowing upstream. Sometimes this feels hard and difficult. So what do we do when we face discouragement or rejection? Well, that's the last part of the plan. We keep showing up. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples," they needed to leave that mountain where they were worshipping Jesus. But when they get to the bottom of the mountain, who's waiting for them? The same people who killed Jesus. The Romans, the chief priests, the crowd who cried out, "Crucify him!" But they went. Why? Because Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has all power and authority, and he promised them he would be with them all of the days. He didn't promise them it would be easy. He didn't promise them it would be a piece of cake, but he promised them himself. And that promise is still true. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us, and he will make his church grow. We are on the other side of the world 2,000 years later because Jesus keeps his promises. Disciples make disciples. And so we pray and we pray and we pray and we go. Jesus makes the impossible happen. So are you willing today to say, I'm ready to show up? Yes, Jesus, use me. Or even better, yes, Jesus, use us. Use us to bring your kingdom. Use us to share the good news with the people who are currently shopping or on the other side of the world or down at the train station picking up family. Jesus, use us. Because that's what he wants to do. That has always been the plan. So we've seen that if we want to be involved in this plan, if we do want Jesus to be using us, then we grow as disciples. We continually remind ourselves what the gospel means, what it means to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, what it means to love others. We've seen that we are relational, we know others, we take time to spend with the people around us, we journey with people, that we sow seeds, that when and where we can, we speak about Jesus, that we row together, that we support each other and the church as we reach out, and we don't give up. We keep praying. I'm going to pray for us now. Given us the joy and the privilege of being disciple makers, of going out and loving people, making a difference to the people in our world, of speaking about Jesus, of partnering together, and I thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you would bless the works of our hands, that what we do would bear fruit. I pray for unity and agreement. I pray particularly for this church who are thinking through what it means to be reaching out. And I pray that the resources and the funds that they need would be made available. But Lord, too, I want to pray if there's people here this morning who have not come yet to trust you, that your Spirit would speak to them, that you would help them see how wonderful it is to have life with Jesus, how beautiful it is to be able to worship the Creator of the world. And for everyone else, Lord, I pray that we would keep growing, that we would keep understanding what it means to live for Jesus, to set aside our idols. Lord, I really do pray that this church would see more and more people come to know Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One last.